on KLYT. This is ABQ Connect.
Our guests today are in ministry for quite some time and music. We're going to hear about persecution in the church and all kinds of things coming your way. We welcome into the studio via the internet, Jeremiah Beck. He's an associate pastor at Calvary Chapel Modesto, founding member of Widow's Might and Canterbury, active in the 90s. He was a missionary to Japan as well for 10 years. And Eli Arigotti joins us as well, a church musician in California, as well as a composer, producer, and engineer. Along with Jeremiah, they founded both those bands, Widow's Might and Canterbury, in the 90s. And Eli is a graduate of the Berklee College of Music. And Eli in Boston, correct?
That is where the college is, but I did it online from the comfort of my own living room in California.
I suspected that may be the case. That's why the question. A renowned degree from Berklee, well respected. I appreciate both you guys taking the time. And actually, I want to draw the connection. Many of our listeners familiar with Brian Nixon. He is the host of Paratus, the podcast heard on KLYT each weekend, and that with the Veritas International University. How did you guys get connected with Brian back in the day?
Yeah, this is, thank you, Steve, for having us on. This is a privilege to be able to share a lot of things and reminisce and unpack the past. So Brian's married to my sister now, and that's been for a very long time. So it was really her coming home from having visited a local coffee house that had live music on Fridays, I believe, from 9 to midnight. And she spotted Brian there. She liked his sound and his looks and came home and said, there's this guy playing music, original music mostly, down there. And that's when that type of thing was, launching. I think it was a relaunch from a throwback to coffee house music of the 60s, but this was the late 80s, early 90s. There was a resurgence. So I went down and wanted to check him out as well. And I had someone with me, and anyways, he took a little break, and then he said, "Hey, does anybody out there play bass?" And I had just restrung my bass guitar after several years of not touching it. And I said, "I do." And then we talked, and it kind of went from there. And then he and my sister, sparks flew, and on and on and on. So yeah, we're blood relatives.
I would say that, like most of us guys, Brian overachieved. And although I don't know your sister well, I am acquainted, and what a sweet, sweet spirit, she has. We're going to spend some time talking about some of that music from, wow, 30 years.
Wow, 30 years.
Crazy. 30 years ago, specifically a song that was recently remastered. I believe this was a Widow's Might song, correct?
Yes, that's right.
Right.
It says, "Suffer They, A Garden Rises Up." Jeremiah, what precipitated the re-release of the song 30 years after it first came out?
Well, I'm not sure. I was not directly involved with pulling it up and working it out, but it is the title song of, I think, the best album that we put out. And it had a lot of thought and passion that was put into not only the song, but just the album, the concept, and where we were as a band at in those days. So I think just something started to stir up with Brian Nixon. And I think it was Dave Abbey, our engineer, our sound master, that worked through on the computer with modern technology.
Well, we heard a little bit about the days of the music in the cafe and what have you. But really, for those not familiar with Widow's Might or the other band that we've already mentioned, that both of you were in, Canterbury, give our listeners some more background, Jeremiah.
Yeah. So like I mentioned, meeting Brian and everything in the early days, not long after we We started up a group and changed the name a couple times before we settled on Canterbury. It was initially just me and him, an acoustic guitar and bass, but it quickly grew to adding a percussionist and then Eli and on guitar and trumpet and other things. And then we added a drummer, Rick Boothby. So the five of us were the five-person band of Canterbury for a few years. And it was really centered on Brian Nixon's original songwriting. He's very gifted in that. And most of it is that's what we focused on. And then we would begin to write songs collaborating together. And there was a lull where I went off to Japan. And I think we all kind of went a few different ways for a bit. And then Widow's Might was birthed out of that.
All right. Well, the song we've already mentioned, Suffer They, Garden Rises Up. We're going to hear it in a little bit here. But Eli, could you tell us a little more about what the song's about and how did you initially record it?
Yeah. So Suffer They, and I didn't write that one, of course, but that is basically about the persecuted church, really. And I think it's got some of the best lyrics of all the Widow's Might songs. It's very poetic. And Jeremiah, remind me, was David Key involved with the lyrics on that one?
He may have been. Yeah, it's David been Key's 30 years.
Yeah. He's the drummer. David Key's the drummer for Widow's Might. At the time, I wasn't initially in Widow's Might as a musician, but I did a lot of the recordings. So most of the releases were done in my home studio, which was interesting back then. So we were using the latest technology, which was kind of digital recording to something called ADAT, which is basically just digital audio tapes. They were on VHS tapes, but we did this whole recording in my house. The drums were in the garage, you know, there were guitars in another room and we did some vocals in the bathroom and, you know, just really kind of like as high tech as we had, but for the time that was, you know, fairly modest. But so we did that. So with a lot of passion and a little bit of gear, we put that recording together.
Well, yeah, that, I don't know if this would be the right term. You're the engineer, but the bathroom, I think, you know, analog reverb, you know.
That's right. Yeah, absolutely.
It's by the fact, obviously, you're recording even at that time onto the digital audio tape. But now the song, Suffer They, Garden Rises Up, it does have its focus on the persecution of the church. Was that an emphasis not only for the song, but for Widow's Might? Or, you know, was the music, I don't know, on obviously on other topics, Jeremiah?
Yeah, I mean, I think that Brian and I, when we met, we were very involved locally with, you know, what we would call today social justice issues, or maybe even called them that then. So things mattered to us, our faith in Christ. We wanted to walk that out in the daily and apply Jesus's message to everything that was going on around the world. And so through that, we ended up making a connection with Voice of the Martyrs, who is one of the foremost groups that focuses on the plight of the persecuted church and understanding that people around the world don't have it as well as we do here. And we wanted to learn about that and then share that with other people.
Eli, we've already mentioned, you know, your engineering and what have you. So you'd know much more about this than I would. You know, we all hear about AI and whatever scariness people have about it, but also some great opportunities to put it to good use. As we fast forward to the re-release of Suffer They, can you talk to us a little bit about how AI was used in creating this re-release?
Yeah, sure. It's a little bit embarrassing and just how simple it was, but basically Dave Abbey uploaded the original version you know, to, I won't say the company, but one of the AI music companies. And they have a function that does that you could do a cover of the song. So he uploaded it, and there are a few sliders that you could tell it whether you want it close to the original or a little crazier and that type of thing. So there's some influence you have over it. And then it basically churns out a couple versions for you, and then that's it. And I think in the end, the usefulness of that tool is that it gives you, it bounces ideas off of you. It's like another way to do that. And so I think in listening back, number one, the cover was sounded more polished, let's say, than our, you know, garage version. but also kind of gave us ideas for maybe some other ways to approach that song. I think in the end, if we were to really re-release it, like in a commercial sense, we would probably take some of those ideas and then, you know, have real players actually play those parts. But yeah, so it's been really interesting to play with that technology. As we all know, with like using ChatGPT or that type of thing, there's some limitations. So it has to have that human element to, you know, filter out what's good and what's not good. But it's definitely a useful tool.
Well, I think it's appropriate. We're at a good place in our conversation for the listener who, you know, who are sitting there on the edge of their seat. Well, would you play the song? Well, sure. let's do that. This is the redone version of Suffer They, A Garden Rises Up from Widow's Might on ABQ Connect.
Torture rains down like fire. Lives are lost, tongues are silent. Body bruised and brandished bare. Minds are burned with scenes on them. Who are these that shed their blood? Who are these that bear his name? Stands like a metal wall, facing death by fire and cold. Mother, sister, father and son, torn apart by truth unknown. Prison days blend into years. Whips and chains are used for fear. Indoctrination of love. Suffer they, the martyred ones. Ones. Suffer they, the martyred ones. A sower's life, planting seeds of love. A life was laid down, but a God. A garden, a garden, a garden. Whoa. Whoa. Whoa.
rises up.
Garden.
The garden rises up.
Garden.
The garden rises up.
Garden.
The garden.
Most assuredly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it remains alone. And if it dies, it produces much fruit. He who loves his life shall lose it. And he who hates his life in this world shall keep it for eternal life.
That's Widow's Mite and Suffer They. A Garden Rises Up. Hey, we'll be back with more right after this on ABQ Connect.
You're listening to KLYT. Welcome back to ABQ Connect.
We are in the midst of a conversation with Jeremiah Beck. He's an associate pastor at Calvary Chapel Modesto and a founding member of Widow's Mite and Canterbury, bands active in the 90s. And his cohort and co-band member, Eli Ergotti, joins us as well, a church musician in California, as well as a composer, producer, and engineer. And guys, we were able to listen to the revised version of Suffer They, A Garden Rises Up, a song from Widow's Mite back in the 90s. And as we headed into it, Eli, you shared a little bit about how AI entered into putting this new version together. And it actually leads to kind of an important question, you know, and I even mentioned as we brought up AI before, I mean, it's scary for a lot of people and there's some great uses for it. Is there anything that you would say is a responsible use of AI, especially when it comes to music? And we mentioned in the first part of the interview, you're a Berklee College of Music graduate. Did the Berklee music professors actually touch on this, Eli?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting because I did finish my degree fairly recently. I think it was maybe 2020 or 2021. But by then, AI wasn't really that big a deal, you know, in audio yet or in recording and music. Although it was coming up. So they didn't really talk about it that much. But, you know, since then, of course, that's been the kind of top of the line topic for a lot of musicians. And so, you know, there's all kinds of opinions on it, of course. And but I guess the bottom line really is that you always really have to bring in the human element into music, because just like with AI photographs or AI videos, people are able to now pretty much, you know, get an idea that it's AI once they see it, because they've seen so many. That's the same thing with the music. The more you listen to, the more you'll kind of hear the cues of it being AI. But the thing is that you can use that, you know, to, again, bounce ideas off and maybe use some of the ideas. And then also, you know, bring in that human element. So I think that's the main thing, is always bringing in the real human element into the music. That's the most important thing.
Well, as our conversation continues, I've really enjoyed all of this. This is, you know, Brian, if you've talked to him at all about our conversations, we routinely talk about all kinds of music, and both of you being, you know, musicians, two successfully regional bands that we've mentioned, Widow's Mite and Canterbury. What's interesting is, and am I prepared to have this conversation, I think, but I'm really looking forward to hearing what each of you have to say. Jeremiah, let's start with you. Widow's Mite, is what you guys would have called a Christian band. And then the other band we mentioned, Canterbury, just a band of Christians. Jeremiah, can you talk to us a little bit about the difference?
Yeah, Steve. I think the distinction we made in just discussing it back in those days, informally, we just thought, wow, as Canterbury, the doors that opened for us were not really at churches or church-related events, but it started through the coffee houses. And there were so many of them popping up and opening that we had a lot of doors open, not only in our own community, but they started to open everywhere. So that was initially what we did. And then, you know, larger venues began to open, again, just in cities, downtown venues, pubs. I guess one was a club, technically. So that type of thing is where we found the Lord opening the doors. And we were just thought, wow, here we are. We're a group of believers. We're Christians. We love the Lord. And he's letting us take that message through the music into those kind of places. Yeah. It wasn't anything we planned. It wasn't something we thought a lot about. But it was then, I think, when we, you know, further on down the line, when Widow's Mite formed, and then, based on the history of the music with Canterbury and everything we did, then really fast doors opened through our local churches. We were all serving in local church by that time. And then I was serving in youth ministries. So we began to do a lot at youth camps and, you know, larger youth events. And I think that really was our main thing in those days. Yeah. So that's what I would say about it.
Yeah. Eli, any more to add?
The songwriting in Canterbury kind of like covered the gamut. There were love songs. There were songs about friendship, songs about breakup, songs about, you know, all everything under the sun. But it was from a perspective or from the viewpoint of a Christian person, but it wasn't necessarily written for Christians per se. Whereas Widow's Mite was, the target audience was a little more, Christians. We definitely, we played a lot of churches and I think also, again, the focus of Widow's Mite, and that came in before I really joined the band, but it really was about, talking about the persecuted church and bringing it to the forefront of people's understanding and supporting it in whatever way that we could. And so that's really what the focus of that particular band was. I think also the interesting thing with Canterbury, one of the reasons that that band, I believe, broke up is that it was having some success, some worldly success, with Jeremiah mentioned, in non-Christian places. And so we had to make a decision whether we wanted to continue to pursue that or not. And I think toward the end of it, we decided, no, we didn't want to pursue that kind of commercial route. So right. That's why it kind of folded. Yeah.
We can find ways to share truth with others through things like that. All right, well, Jeremiah Beck and Eli Arigotti, guys, not only for the work done in the 90s, and I'm sure even before that, and between then and now, as you continue to do things for the cause of Christ, it's an honor to co-labor with you, even at a distance, and to take the time to meet you here. I appreciate the time, and look forward to seeing what God's going to do with each of you next.
All right, Thanks, Steve.
All right, and thank you for listening to ABQ Connect.
ABQ Connect is a production of KLYT. The views expressed on ABQ Connect do not necessarily reflect the views of the staff or management of KLYT.